So today, since we have quite a number of people who have come from Tibet directly, you are part of the 6 million Tibetan people whom I usually say is the boss of Tibet. We in exile, as we say in our in Tibetan, there's a Tibetan saying, although there's fire burning inside, we should not let the smoke out. So we in exile are in free country, whereas people inside Tibet always have this hope that the people in exile in diaspora will never forget us. So all Tibetans in free countries, we should feel that we should never forget that we have a responsibility that is vested on us by the 6 million people inside Tibet. And so during the last nearly 54 years, many, in fact, since 1949 have, and then from 56, 55, and then the 60s, many people have died. And under great hardship, people have also made some been deceived through some kind of a material development. And then there were people who were taken away from the Tibetan community in early on in their childhood and try to indoctrinate. So although all kinds of devious means have been used on Tibetans, and the Tibetans, they could never shake this Tibetan spirit, even today. So today, even a small Tibetan kid keep up with this Tibetan spirit and dedicate it to our people. But the narrow-minded, short-sighted Chinese leaders, communists, the more harsh, the harsher they are on us, the greater our the Tibetan spirit gets, the stronger the Tibetan spirit gets in our people. And then today, people from outside Tibet, and especially Chinese, have noticed that we have made. So I'd like to thank you who represent the Tibetans inside Tibet, the 6 million Tibetans, and through you, I wish to praise. And I always feel that your spirit and dedication is wonderful, amazing. And then, those of us who are in exile, we should be able to become the representatives of this body and speech of our people inside. So we cannot go about only fulfilling our own goals, our own selfish motives. So as long as we live, we cannot change this Tibetan identity. We cannot change our name as Tibetans. As long as you have this body and the blood of Tibetans, we should never forget our just cause. We should remind ourselves of, recall the hardships and the dedication, the spirit of our people inside. We are not saying that we should be foolish, have this foolish kind of patriotism, which is biased. But today, even today in the world, the language that we have, Tibetan language, is the best language to explain Buddhism. Through this language, we are able to explain the Buddhism in its totality about pertaining to the ground path and the result of and so this is the reason why we need to survive, live alive today. And so the Tibetan we have this tradition of non-violence and which is our philosophy. So we are not just taking it for granted, nor is it something that we feel that we are unable to do harm to others. So even as a small kid, Tibetans have this habit not to harm some other animal, like small bugs and so forth. So before Buddhism came to Tibet, I don't know if Tibetans were so compassionate. We were nomads. So we lived, whenever we faced some challenges, we didn't hesitate to chop off the other people. And so, since Buddhism flourished in Tibet, then we became very compassionate. And therefore, we have a culture which is compassionate culture. And so, this compassionate culture is something which would be useful and helpful to the world today. And therefore, we need to be patriotic about our, passionate about our culture. Because of this reason, we should not be impartial or biased, because saying that this is our tradition, but because the survival of this culture and we should see how we can actually keep this compassionate culture alive, and how we can, while doing this, how we can actually make contribution to the world as well. So, as I said before, there are many people who go on tour in Tibet, and many Chinese go to Tibet like that, and they see how Tibetans are compassionate. And so we should be able to actually demonstrate this to other people. As I said earlier, there are some people in Tibet who actually sell things at very high prices in Tibet. And then there I also hear that there are, although we didn't have many people who are indulge in corruption, taking money and so forth, but it seems I hear that there are people who actually become corrupted. The Tibetans are becoming corrupted these days. And so we should make sure, whether you are you are a believer or non-believer, we should actually make sure that our image is actually heightened in the eyes of other people. So whether you are a believer or not, it's a different case. It's an individual case. I know Tibetans who are communists, who became communists in the 1950s. They were truly communists. I know many of them. although they are communists, but they are very, they have very strong spirit of Tibetan spirit. This is something we need to have amongst our people. So whether you individually you are a believer or non-believer, we need to keep up, pay attention to our identity, spirit, this good nature. We need to keep up with that. It's very important, I wish to say this. And then we in exile should do that. So whether you are a believer or not, Tibetan people, in the even in the past, during the 7th, 8th, 9th centuries, when we were a powerful nation, we were held together, united by our language and the culture, our religion, although and later on, we the Tibetan nation got fragmented, as I mentioned during the teaching. The Ngari Chögyal actually held a very small part of Tibet under their rule. So Tibet remained in a very pitiable situation. But what actually held Tibetans together, united, even at that time, was our language and our culture, the Buddhism and Tibetan language. So whether you are, as individuals, you believe in a religion or not, a major, a main Tibetan identity is Buddhism, the teaching of Buddha. We need, therefore, to pay attention and take interest in it. So as a Tibetan, we need to take care, pay attention and take interest in our teaching of the Buddha. And so this is what I want to say. I'm going to meet the new, the fresh arrivals from Tibet. And then we also have many friends of Tibet from different countries. So you have, on the one hand, you became attracted to Tibetan Buddhism and took interest in it. And today, this religion, the spirituality to which you are attracted and you take interest in, it is at a very critical juncture of whether it will survive long or not. And so there are many who actually take interest in Tibetan Buddhism and pay attention to it by understanding Tibetan Buddhism, seeing reason. So we, I think that we are actually at a point where we do not need to feel too concerned about the demise of Tibetan Buddhism, although at some point in our history we were at that critical juncture. And so whether Tibetan Buddhism remains or not, and depends on freedom to practice and study Buddhism, and freedom for our people. So I have followed, I have tried all the different kind of means to deal with our Tibetan just cause, and I have met with Mr. Jawaharlal Nehru, Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, who actually was conversant about world politics and so forth very well. So having actually tried all the different means, And then, having met with people, different people in this world, when I do take questions and discussions with them, I usually tell them that we need to, we want a peaceful world, a world where there's no violence. So if you want such a world, I tell them that there is no way, I mean, of course, the world completely free from problems and difficulties. But while we are in the midst of, problems and difficulties, we should try to build a peace, a non-violent world. When we face the challenges, we should actually confront it not by force, by which has been the kind of habit so far, as a result of which today in the world we have poor, helpless people without protection, children and old people who are actually overwhelmed by suffering and difficulties, and therefore by using force, we have not been able to solve our problems, and therefore there are people who are tired of force. And so, since force is not the solution to our problems, therefore what we need is a dialogue, sitting together face to face and having a dialogue with each one another. So I tell people that the 20th century was a century of violence, and the 21st century should be a century of dialogue and peace. So while I tell other people to do this way and to deal with our problems this way, how can we actually solve our own problem by using force? Therefore, the Tibetan cause should not be, we should not think of confronting the Chinese with force, but sit together, relaxed, and then we can talk with them. And therefore, we should not have this confrontational kind of attitude, but we should face each other and not think about winning a victory for one side and call a defeat for the other, but think of mutual benefit. And therefore, we are following this middle way approach, which seems to bring some benefit and fruit. And so this, I came up with this middle way approach after trying all kinds of means that was possible, available. So today, people sometimes have this notion that if we actually talk about freedom, it seems that those people have some that are dedicated for our Tibetan cause. If we don't talk about freedom, if we don't raise the voice of independence, we are not actually passionate about our cause. This is not the case at all. And so I have been meeting, we have been meeting Chinese overseas, and even some of the Chinese who are the officials, communists, and working in the government. And therefore, Tibetans inside Tibet, which doesn't mean that we have gone to each and every individual nomads or farmers and so forth, but people who are aware of the political situation, and therefore the 99% of them support our cause. Middle way approach. Some people say that the majority Tibetan actually, inside Tibet actually want independence and not the middle way. This is not the case. So It's been quite late now, and I'm here feeling hungry. And so the Westerners, your dedication and your attention and interest in Tibetan and Tibetans should be kept up. Please continue to support, and you can also go back. When you go back home, you should actually make your people in your own country and your own communities or locality and aware of the Tibetan situation. I always say that the Tibetan supporters are not pro-Tibetan as such, politically motivated. Like there, you are pro-justice.
But rather pro-justice.
So I usually thank the Westerners who support Tibet and Tibetan cause. So that's all I wish to say. Thank you. Teshi Delek.